North of Fallujah, in the city of Samarra, there are reports today that U.S. troops shot and killed two employees of a U.S.-funded television station. The station, Al Irakia, interrupted its broadcasts to report the death of a reporter and a driver and the wounding of a cameraman. The U.S. military had no immediate comment.
The deaths of 10 more U.S. troops this weekend added to what is already the deadliest month for American forces since the Iraq War began. The combat death toll for U.S. troops in April is now near 100. The number of Iraqi deaths is almost certainly many times greater, though accurate numbers are not available. NPR's Eric Westervelt examines the reasons behind the rise in casualties and the debate over tactics.
Facing dual Iraqi uprisings in both Sunni and Shia parts of the country, American troops in the last 2 weeks have faced the street-to-street clashes they largely avoided when they toppled Saddam Hussein's forces a year ago. Marine Corps Major General John Sattler, Central Command's operations director, says in urban areas such as Fallujah, using big high-tech weaponry risks killing too many civilians. That leaves little alternative, General Sattler says, other than deploying American infantry on the ground.
It's the toughest combat you engage in. It's very close quarters. It's high intensity. That you stick your head, go around the next bend, and you can go from calm and tranquility into extreme violence. There's not much time for reaction, and precision-guided munitions, it's hard to take out a building with bad folks in it when it's in proximity to other civilian structures.
These house-to-house moves employ tactics that have changed little since World War II. Marines using automatic weapons, manning freshly dug fighting holes, and taking cover to return fire from behind walls and their Humvees. These scenes have some wondering why U.S. commanders don't seem to be heeding the tactical example of the successful attack on Baghdad last April, when the 3rd Infantry Division helped turn urban combat doctrine on its head.
The lesson to be learned here is, when serious fighting starts, if you can at all, you want to get armor and heavy armor and lots of it as soon as possible.
Former Special Operations Officer Bob Killebrew says it's a mistake to slog it out American light infantry against Iraqi guerrilla light infantry. The U.S. could reduce casualties, he says, by bringing in more Bradley fighting vehicles and Abrams tanks.
We have found that tanks and armored personnel carriers in town are very effective. When you get right down to it, the best anti-sniper weapon in the world is 8 inches of armor and a 120-millimeter gun. And why we're not doing that now, I don't know.
The Marines are a light infantry force known for swift maneuvers using limited armor, mainly amphibious tracked troop carriers. But those carriers are not as durable as the Army's Bradleys. Army heavy armor can be attached to a Marine unit any time a commander thinks it's necessary. So far, the Marines have added only limited armor in the fighting in Fallujah, Ramadi, and elsewhere. One active duty Army colonel who asked to remain anonymous expressed anger at the relative absence of heavy U.S. armor in the fight, saying, quote, "How many Americans will have to pay the price for the general's romantic notions of light infantry in urban warfare? This doesn't make any sense," end quote. Others, however, say the high number of killed and wounded has little to do with U.S. equipment or tactics.
The real reason the numbers are going up is because the opposition is much cleverer and it's now got itself properly organized.
Former British infantry officer Charles Heyman is the senior defense analyst with Jane's Consultancy. He says over the last 10 months, Iraqi guerrillas have learned the U.S. weaknesses, honed their tactics, and improved their military structure. Bringing in more heavy armor, he says, would only lead to more civilian casualties and play into the hands of guerrillas. This month's casualties, Heyman says, are a political disaster for Washington and heartbreaking for families. But militarily, he says, the numbers are historically low for intense combat in densely populated areas.
Given the amount of violence there is across the whole of Iraq now, one of the things that surprises me is just how few people have been killed.
While U.S. commanders downplay the number of civilian deaths, Heyman says, insurgents are exaggerating the figures for propaganda and recruiting. The real number, Heyman says, is probably somewhere in between the two groups and won't be known for weeks. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Washington.